How important are our individual actions? Are we all on separate playing fields where our choices in life only affect us? Or do those choices have any impact on the health and growth of the church and preaching of the gospel? I think it might have more effect than we might think. Do we ever stop and think about it in this way? And many times life gets going so fast that we get caught up in our individual lives and forget that we as individuals have great impact. And whether we be at work, at home, or here at church, it really doesn't matter where we are. Our choices are stunningly impactful and momentous. So I thought we would look at two different stories that are wide-ranging, and they have largely different outcomes. But they both have to do with a people as a whole and the outcomes. If you will, turn to Joshua 7 and verse 1. Joshua 7 and verse 1, and we read about a man named Achan. And he sinned and caused great problems for Israel. So Joshua 7 and verse 1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the cursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, 'Go up and spy out the country.' So the men went up, and they spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few.' So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shibarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, and he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads." Joshua didn't understand why, you know, these 3,000 men were able to defeat the few men of Ai. But because Achan had sinned and taken of the accursed things, God decided to, you know, teach them a lesson. This is one man that sinned. So if we jump to verse 16 in this story, it says, "So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of Zerites, and he brought the family of Zerites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And then he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord of God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell him now what you have done. Do not hide it from me.' And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylon garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it.' So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver under it." Verse 23. "And they took them from the midst of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and brought all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised up over him a great heap of stones still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. This man's actions caused the death of multiple Israelites, not just him and his own family, but of others that he may or may have not known. But he made the choice to disobey God's very clear instructions. And so he and his entire family were stoned because of this sin. Do we understand how God feels then about sin? It's a very serious thing. You know, the choice to take those few things was small, insignificant in the long realm, but they had larger consequences. Let's read a second story, though, one that's more uplifting, more positive, that also has a very large impact practically on the entire Bible. If you turn to Genesis 41 and verse 38, Genesis 41 and verse 38, and we are breaking into the story here, but it says, "And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you.' And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, 'Bow the knee.' And so he set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in the land of Egypt.' And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Phaneah, and he gave him a wife." Verse 46, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 40, Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, from Asenath-Phaneah, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, 'For God has made me forget all my toil and my father's house.' And he named the second he called Ephraim, 'For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.'" Verse 56, "So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, 'Go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do.' And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all the lands." From the time we first read of Joseph, we see that he had consistent choices in how he lived his life. And even though he went through some really rough times, in the end he was able to save himself, his family, which ended up becoming the children of Israel, and also the nation of Egypt at that time. In fact, his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, United States and Britain, where would we be without Joseph? When he made those choices in life, you know, could he have imagined what was happening, the bigger picture that was in front of him? Possibly. Hopefully. You know, as we take the time to examine the two differences in these two stories, it really boils down to two different choices. And these choices are simple. Give or take. Life, simply put, are these two principles. And in more detail, today we are talking about these choices and the specific impacts that they have on the church. So then again, how do we make decisions? You know, are they weighed lightly, or do we spend time thinking about our choices? Paul gives us plenty of good ideas about what our choices should be every day. We should be thinking about how our choices affect those around us, whether it be the things we do, think, or say. And it's important to note that oftentimes these are not just an individual thing, and it's up to each of us to make the right choices, but there is a bigger picture at stake. If you turn to Romans 1, I'm sorry, Romans 12 and verse 1. That's where I wanted to go. Start in Romans 12 and verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. So every choice should be made with the intentions of being acceptable to God. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we are making good choices, we will be proving what is good and acceptable and in accordance with God's will. Verse 3. For I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So thinking soberly is also part of making good choices. That takes godly wisdom, takes time and forethought. In verses 4 through 8, Paul speaks of the church, if you will. Verse 4, for we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. And he who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So Paul points out here that each person within the church has different gifts to be used or given by God, but they must be used. They're not to be just sitting there uselessly. We should be choosing to use them for the benefit of others, giving them. And after this, he continues to speak throughout the rest of this chapter about showing how a Christian should be choosing to live his or her life. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we make the commitment to become baptized, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, we commit to taking on these things that Paul is speaking of. And we cannot afford to look back once we have made this choice to commit. Now, as we live our lives, we know that we need a constant connection with God so that we can make sure that our lives are being led in a way that is pleasing to God. And so that we may help our fellow brothers and sisters in the church, in the body of Christ. You know, if we make the wrong choices, we, like Achan, could seriously hinder and hurt the church, whether we realize it or not. But on the other hand, if we make the right choices, we'll bring blessings like Joseph did, not only on ourselves, but on the church. Now, Paul's words here were written down and preserved so that we could use them as reminders. Like I said earlier, life goes by so fast. If we are not constantly studying, praying, learning and growing, then we will make the wrong choices. So the choice is ours, on an individual and a collective level. What are we going to choose to do?